The big question? The president will sign a small business bill. Will the jobs follow?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The big question in just a moment. First, big news about mergers affecting the air and hair. Southwest Airlines said today it's buying AirTran for $1.4 billion. It expands Southwest's reach to more than 100 markets and gives them a hub at the world's busiest airport, Atlanta, where it'll be neighbors with Delta. Unilever said today it's buying the U.S.-based Alberto Culver Company for $3.7 billion, giving Unilever big shampoo brands VO5 and Tresemme. Now the big question, which involves small businesses and jobs. Later today, President Obama signs a small business tax incentive bill that includes a $30 billion lending fund to entice banks to loan money to smaller companies. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live from Washington with the latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So how does a new fund work?
Well, the Treasury Department can now offer smaller banks really cheap loans as long as those banks show that they're lending it to small businesses. The more a bank lends to small borrowers in the community, the cheaper the money is to them.
All right, John, so how effective is that going to be?
The big question is whether cheap loans are what small businesses really need right now. Some people, including Harvard business professor Josh Lerner, say that many job-generating young companies just aren't in a position in this economy to borrow money.
When you get money from bankers, they seem to have this peculiarity that they actually want the money back. They want you to actually see that you can make interest payments and principal repayments, or else they're not terribly happy.
John, what does he think a better strategy is then for the government?
He says that rather than loans, small startups need venture capital to grow their businesses. So to encourage that, he thinks the government would be better off matching investments that are made by private equity partners. Equity investments would give innovative entrepreneurs a longer-term source of funding to get their businesses up and running, and studies show they're the ones that make the new jobs.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
State and local governments have been famously tackling immigration matters. Think Arizona and its law that aims to identify illegal immigrants. There are quite a few places where passing laws to crack down on illegals affects local businesses. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Cornell sociologist Max Pfeffer recently briefed members of Congress on the local immigration enforcement trend.
What they've done is moved more into the regulatory mode.
With more than 200 new laws last year punishing employers who hire undocumented workers and making cops check for legal status. Tamar Jacoby runs Immigration Works, a business advocacy group. She says enforcement-only approaches like Arizona's are counterproductive.
So the threat of boycotts and tourism diminishing is very real to businesses around the country. But the other thing that we're seeing in Arizona, and we've seen in states that try to crack down on immigration, is workers fleeing the state.
Economist Ray Perryman says the undocumented contribute more as workers, consumers, and taxpayers than they cost in government services.
There's a net positive benefit that pretty much cuts across the entire economy.
Perryman concludes if you removed all undocumented workers, it would cost the U.S. economy $650 billion, or nearly 5% of GDP. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. All the merger news of the day and some encouraging U.S. data on corporate spending has world stocks mostly higher, a few exceptions. Friday, the Dow climbed 197 points to close at 10,860. For the week, markets added about 2-3%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At allybank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
The newspaper industry's gotten hammered by the internet. The Pew Research Center says only about a quarter of Americans read a daily paper, actually made of paper. Good for the environment, right? Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports from the Sustainability Desk. It's not quite that simple.
I'm here at the LA Times printing press. One-ton rolls of paper are being printed, cut, and folded into tomorrow's dailies. It takes a lot less paper to get the job done than it used to, because subscribers are dropping. And while it might not be good for the printing business, printing fewer papers conserves trees and energy. Don Carley is a researcher with the Institute for Sustainable Communication. He says making all that newsprint is energy intensive, but so is reading online.
There are also comparable, in some cases even greater, environmental impacts, both in terms of energy consumption and other outputs in terms of waste, toxic waste, to the air, to water, to land, from digital media infrastructures.
You have computers, data centers, and server rooms that suck energy. You've also got to mine the minerals to make the devices. And when you toss your old razor, it becomes e-waste, a multi-million ton toxic problem. The trade-off from print to electronic devices isn't a clear win-win. But Rita Skank, with the Institute for Environmental Research and Education, says she thinks reading online is better, to an extent.
Once you read several newspapers, say 10 or 20 newspapers, it becomes, you have as much environmental impact as if you read and you took the whole life cycle of the electronic system.
One reason it's not quite so easy to declare digital media the winner, imagine a global middle class, all with cell phones, computers, and tablets. Skank says it just won't work. That growth will require too many resources.
When we start having the whole world connected electronically, then it's going to be really, really important that we find ways to move those electrons around cheaper for less environmental impact.
Skank thinks that cheaper, better option will have to rely on renewable energy sources like solar. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, what the future of news might mean for the environment. And finally, some people in McIntosh County, Georgia, apparently have an affinity for street signs that read Boone's Farm, Green Acres, or Mary Jane Lane. The county pays $17,000 a year to replace those repeatedly stolen signs, so Commissioner Mark Douglas says he has an answer. New, boring street names. First, second, third, Oak. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.